हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
Jai. So now we're up to the point where then Yudhishthira has understood that, he was invited for a friendly match by Dhritarashtra. It's not a friendly match, but Dhritarashtra and none of the elders are complaining about it like that. See, is the what happens is that Dhritarashtra is the one that makes the decision. The other elders are committed to protecting the throne. He happens to be the one in the throne. They would rather someone else was there. But he being there, then they have their duties to protect the throne. So then when he doesn't acquiesce to Yudhishthira's points, then they've already made their points. But even if they see, like we'll see later on, Vidura will say something, others say, but they're simply addressing the king. It's still up to him to make a decision. Right? Because that's the point. You have authority. It has to work from that. Otherwise, it just turns into chaos. And so Yudhishthira is working under his authority, they're working under their authority. So the only one really at fault here is Dhritarashtra. Duryodhana is being Duryodhana. He's spoiled brat and he's behaving very, very badly. Intolerably badly. But it's his father who has to make the decision. Because if he said no, it would be that way. Like that. But he doesn't because of attachment. So then Yudhishthira then, understanding that Dhritarashtra is comfortable with this whole program, then he said, if it is your desire, Duryodhana, then let the play begin. The Pandava took a priceless string of pearls from his neck. Here is my stake, O king, with what shall you wager against me? Duryodhana replied, I have wealth counted in the millions and tens of millions, but I am not proud of it. I shall equal all that you stake. Throw the dice, Shakuni, and let us see who wins. Right. So, his whole point is that Yudhishthira has more. He's very bad, feeling bad about that. Yudhishthira is not proud of it. Duryodhana is proud of his and wants to expand to get more. When Pandava then takes this priceless pearls from his neck, he says, "Here's my stake. What will you match it with?" Duryodhana takes it, always being arrogant. All he's saying is, here's something worth so much. Where's your match? Because the match has to be equal if it's going to be a proper gambling match. And so then he says, oh, but I have, I, and then he mentions, I have gotten millions and tens of millions, but I'm not proud of it. But why did he even mention? All he would just say is, yes, we'll match that, or I have that, or I have that. I mean, I don't have it in pearls, but I have it in gold, or something. So we always see is that due to the mode of ignorance, whatever's the proper thing to do is always twisted by him. What's improper is made proper. What's proper is made improper. You'll see all throughout that that will be constantly coming up. Yudhishthira will mention something about Dharma and a particular point, and then Duryodhana or Dushasana or Shakuni or even Karna will spin it to a different one. And then say, oh, but here, but this, why you're saying, talking about this? This is what's wrong. So they're constantly just moving the discussion and all that. So they never actually answer any question. They never actually deal with one particular thing. Because for them, it's not about dharma, it's about winning. So if this point they're going to lose on this point, they just bring up another point that they might win. So you see, it's a very common way people will take shelter. Shakuni called out a number and threw the dice. As the dice came to a stop on the number he called, he cried out, "See, I have won." Right, so he starts seeing here, you see he gets very excited, but as he goes, he gets more and more excited and more nasty. Yudhishthira looked at Duryodhana and said, "In a game contrived only for my defeat, you have won by unfair means. O king, do you feel happy? Right? He's asking him, you're won by unfair means, do you feel happy? But Yudhishthira wouldn't feel happy because he follows Dharma. But Duryodhana couldn't care less, as long as he wins. Let the game, his whole point, do you feel happy? He's trying to make him feel bad. He won't feel bad. He has no shame. I have many beautiful jars, each filled with 1,000 gold coins. Right? The jar itself is gold, with ornamented and everything, and then inside is 1,000 gold coins. Right? And these aren't these little dinky ones that you have now. These will be bigger coins. These shall be my next stake. Yudhishthira cast the dice and called his number, but they fell differently. Shakuni again took up the dice. He closed his eyes and held them tight, then called for an 8. The dice rolled across the polished wooden board and came to a stop on 8. Shakuni pointed to the dice like an excited child. See, I've won again. His laughing voice echoed around the hall. Right? It's just a matter of he's winning. He knows exactly what he's going to do. He sits around playing for hours, saying a number, throwing it, and until he gets it every time. So it's not like it's that. So it's the mood, it's the ability to make Yudhishthira, to humble Yudhishthira and make him and his brothers feel bad in front of Duryodhana and the assembly. That's what they're trying to obtain. Because we saw before, Duryodhana is feeling very bad because they laughed at him. Right? It's cousins. They do things. Somebody does something, he burps, and everybody laughs. Like that. But he says, So that's the difficulty, is that he just wants to make others miserable, and by that, he becomes happy. Yudhishthira remained impassive. He had little chance of defeating Shakuni at the game. The Gandhara king had practically made dice his life and soul. He could practically command the dice. Backed by Duryodhana's resources, he would also be impossible to overcome at staking, because that's what he's trying to do the first time. Yudhishthira said, I will stake my sacred, victorious, and splendid chariot, equal to 1,000 other chariots. It is made of refined gold and covered with tiger skins. Its wheels resound like thunder when it is driven. It is adorned with 1,000 bells and is drawn by 8 steeds as white as moonbeams and swifter than the wind itself. It was Shakuni's turn to cast first again. He called out his number, and the dice fell exactly as desired. I win, his voice mixed with the laughter of Duryodhana and his brothers. They taunted Yudhishthira. What will you stake next, O emperor? So this is now, you see, before that, they were just kind of going. But you see, at this point, now it starts to get, the passions are coming out, and they're starting to taunt him and poke him and harass him and push him into making wages that are, not standard or not normal or not at all even respectable. Yudhishthira sat surrounded by his brothers. All of them glared at Duryodhana. Arjuna reached over and touched Yudhishthira's shoulder. He shook his head slightly as his elder brother turned towards him. But Yudhishthira says, right, he's just saying, let's stop now. These guys are just that. We can just say, because then if they try to stop, oh, you're afraid of us. Oh, what have the great Yudhishthira who, accepts any challenge. But they're cheating. You only have to accept a challenge that's not cheating. Like that. So that's the point. It has to be according to the rules. So he's following the rules that he's presenting that as cheating, but because Dhritarashtra is not saying no. He's working on the religious principle. I'm following my authority. So that's the point. So his brothers are pointing out is we can stop now. Let's just go. This is not proper. Yudhishthira said, I have 100,000 serving girls who are all young and richly adorned with costly garments and gold ornaments, and who are skilled at the 64 arts of service, especially dancing and singing. At my command, they wait upon celestials, Brahmins, and kings. These shall be my next state. Because 64 arts, they know all. Most people only know some of the arts. If they know all 64, then that means that in any occasion, in any social position, in any fine points that have to be there, they can deal with that. The cooking, the serving, the music, the dance, the dramas, the dressing, the making ornaments, anything, they can do everything perfectly. So they can discuss anything, in general conversation and all that. So he's just saying that these are very, very highly qualified individuals. Consider it matched, said Duryodhana with a smile, as if he has this. But whatever, he says it anyway. Once again, his what? Consider it matched. You know, what's the, where does he have? You know? Yudhishthira failed to throw the number he called, but Shakuni rolled the dice with consummate skill and won the throw. Ha, I win again, he cried. On the royal podium, Dhritarashtra leaned forward and eagerly asked Vidura, what was the stake? What has been won? So he's enjoying all this. Okay, what's happening? His son is having fun, so he thinks it's a nice thing. But as will be pointed out, as they go, they don't. Dhritarashtra, due to attachment, is not seeing what's going on here. In other words, in this gambling match itself, this one singular point, his whole dynasty, the whole Kuru dynasty is being destroyed. There won't be one person left, not on his side. Pandava's side will go down. But on Dhritarashtra's side, because he wanted his son and it to go down, there's not a man left in the dynasty. That's it. You know, root, branch and root. That's what Manu says. You insult a chaste woman, then your dynasty will be destroyed, branch and root. Means there will be nothing left. That's Manu. So it's not just, it's a nice story here. It's Manu Samhita. So he's so caught up in just his son's having fun that he doesn't really see the danger that's happening. Vidura moved uneasily. He could not tolerate seeing the Pandavas being robbed by such deceitful means. He watched in pain as Yudhishthira lost throw after throw. The Pandavas staked thousands of elephants, chariots, celestial horses, and countless other draught animals. He put up hundreds of thousands of soldiers with all their weapons and armory. Yudhishthira staked precious stones, gold, and other valuable metals as he became gripped by the fever of the game, right? So now if he's lost everything, that was the whole point, is that he's got so much more than Duryodhana. But the point is that you can only have a match if it's equally, it means a gamble, proper gamble, if it's being matched, right? So Duryodhana can't keep up with this, but they keep pushing, okay, what's next, and they keep pushing him, and oh, is that all, and you know, all these kind of things like that. So that's why Vidura is that, it's totally deceitful, there's nothing standard about it from beginning to end. Yudhishthira staked precious stones, gold, and other valuable metals as he became gripped by the fever of the game. So that's another thing, is why these four regulative principles are followed by someone who's, you know, wants to practice sadhana and develop in spiritual life, is because the nature of the four principles is that they overwhelm the focus. And by that, you don't actually see things how they are. You know, so here we know with Yudhishthira, because of his great position, there's some element of yoga maya going on here. So Krishna's making an arrangement by this that you can see how proper are the Pandavas. That they, you know, always follow authority and follow their duties despite this very difficult situation. And how Duryodhana does not have one good quality, you know, with him. Like that, you know. So that's the. It becomes more and more obvious as it goes. So it's Krishna's arrangement, and so then Yulia. All that could be heard was Yudhishthira calling out the stake, Shakuni crying out, "I have won!" And then the Kauravas' loud laughter. Bhima wrung his powerful hands together and breathed hot breaths. From the time that Duryodhana tried to poison him, he had longed to face the Kaurava prince in an open and fair fight. This kind of devious and cowardly antagonism was unbearable. Because it's not for Kshatriyas, right? This is for gamblers, low-class men. Without Yudhishthira's order, however, he could say or do nothing. Arjuna also longed to string his bow and challenge his guileful cousins to open combat. But he too felt constrained by Yudhishthira. He could only watch in agony as the sneering Duryodhana and his brothers humiliated them. Because that's their point. Vidura could tolerate no more. He stood up suddenly and spoke loudly to Dhritarashtra. O king, listen carefully. I shall say something that will be disagreeable to you as medicine is to a dying man. So he's openly saying, you're not going to like this, but I'm going to say it because it's medicine. When the sinful wretch Duryodhana was born and he cried like a jackal, I told you then to reject him. You did not heed my advice, although it was clear he would cause the destruction of her house. Can you now not see that prophecy coming to pass? So he's already said, can you not see it? It's still his decision. But the point is he's unable to see because he's blinded by attachment. And you'll see is that later on it'll come up that when the Pandavas go to the forest, then they're instructed in this whole point that attachment's the thing that causes all the difficulties. So because of Dhritarashtra's attachment to Duryodhana, that one attachment to his son, he loses the son, all his sons, and everybody that's there. At the end, there's him, there's Gandhari, right? His Sanjaya is still there, his servant. And Yuyutsu, who can't sit on the throne. So that means that branch of, and Bhishma's gone, Drona's gone. I think Kripa's still there. So that means there is nothing left of it. The house is gone. There is no Kuru dynasty. It's finished. But that's Vidura is trying to point. Don't you see this happening right now? Do you not see it's happening? But no, the game stopped. Everyone looked towards Vidura. Duryodhana scowled, but his father remained silent. Vidura continued. Right? So then he scowls, but he doesn't say it because his father is listening. Hear the ancient advice of Sukra, the celestial rishi. Those who seek to collect honey from a high place become so absorbed in their aim that they do not see the drop that awaits them. Ascending to dangerous heights, they fall and perish. Right? They see way up very nice honey. They climb up the tree and trying to get it. But the point is it's so high and so dangerous that if not careful with that, they might find it, but the branch breaks and they and the honey that they gained, they have it, but they fall down to their death. Your son, maddened by gambling, is the collector of honey. Creating hostilities with the powerful Pandavas, he does not see the fall which awaits him. Vidura looked straight at the blind king as he spoke. He reminded him of how the evil king Kamsa had been rejected and slain by his own people in order to save their dynasty. Similarly, the Kauravas should reject Duryodhana. The king should order Arjuna to kill him at once. In this way, purchase these peacocks, the Pandavas, at the cost of this crow. Do not sink into an ocean of grief for the sake of one crooked family member. There was one friend. Then he tells another story. There was once a bird that vomited gold. A foolish king obtained this bird and out of greed killed it in order to enjoy the gold more quickly. He thinks it vomits gold, so it must have so much gold inside. So if I kill the bird, I'll get all the gold at once rather than just waiting for a little bit at a time. Thus, he destroyed both his present and future happiness, right? Because he killed the bird, and there was nothing to be found inside. Because somehow or another, by some arrangement, once a day the bird would vomit up gold. But it's not that it had gold inside; it would just be somehow or another made by power, by some mystic power. And so he got nothing at the time in the present, so he didn't improve. And whatever possibilities of getting that bit of gold every day was lost. O Dhritarashtra, do not imitate the king by persecuting the Pandavas for the sake of their wealth. Indeed, be like the flower seller who cherishes his trees with affection and thus picks flowers from them continuously. Right? The merchant, then he keeps the trees and takes care of them very nicely, and from that he gets constant fruits. So if they would cultivate their relationship with the Pandavas, then so much benefit. Like Yudhishthira doesn't consider that they're not Kurus and that there's not benefit for everyone. It's just that Duryodhana likes to keep separate, so they stay separate. But otherwise, he's not creating any enmity. Vidura warned the king of consequences of forming an enmity with the Pandavas. Not even the celestials could face them in battle, right, as we've seen before. If the gambling continues, there'll be war between the Kauravas and all their allies will be destroyed. So it won't even be everyone connect with the Kauravas. Anyone who supports them, they'll all be destroyed. You will be the cause of this war, O king, because you alone have the power to stop your son. Only he can stop the son, and only he can support Yudhishthira in this case. Still you remain silent, Plainly, you are enjoying your son's success. A man who follows another's heart, even against his own better judgment, sinks into affliction, like a man going to sea in a boat guided by a child. Do not follow a wretch into the terrible fire that has blazed forth. When Ajatashatru and his brothers are robbed of their kingdom, become angry. Who will be your refuge in the hour of confusion? Why do you seek the Pandava's wealth? You can earn as much as you like without gambling. Win instead these tigers among men who are worth more than any amount of wealth. Send Shakuni back to Gandhara. Do not wage a war that will destroy you to your roots. Right, so right here, Vidura is seeing all the signs and also knowing the omens from before. And he's saying that this is the way it is. You know, you should be supporting the Pandavas and all that. So this is actually the clear thing. Dhritarashtra knows this. It's all been there before. We'll even see Gandhari makes this point. She points this out also, like that. And it's not that, and it's just a known fact, because Shakuni is her brother, but, you know, not in support of any of this. Then she says the same thing. Right. So now, Duryodhana, because of his father being silent and all that, then he has so much more pride and confidence than he should have in his position in front of all these other seniors. Duryodhana could take no more. He leapt to his feet. Seeing that his father remained silent, right, means he's not saying anything, so he's not going anywhere with it. Technically, if he was like Yudhishthira, he'd take it that he agrees. Right? But no, he takes it, he's silent, so he's saying nothing, so he doesn't agree. Right? It's like Yudhishthira could have said, see, they're saying nothing because what I'm saying is the truth, so therefore, then we don't have to have this gambling match and all this and that. So the king would have to say, no, we should have it. Then, you know, it's fully understood, it's his fault. But no, Yudhishthira doesn't use such techniques. But Duryodhana does. He rebuked Vidura harshly. Now we can see your true nature. Rejecting those who maintain you, you side with the enemy. They're taking it that we're maintaining, but he's not understanding that's because of Vidura's direction. That's why they're the kings. Without direction like of Bhishma and Drona and Vidura, Duryodhana doesn't stand a chance. No one likes him. No one would want to be in his kingdom like that. So the only reason is because you do have Vidura and you have Drona and Bhishma, that the citizens think, well, maybe it'll go nicely like that. So he doesn't understand. He has it completely backwards. So much pride. Vidura, there's no greater sin than injuring one's supporter. You know, so he's taking it, yeah, in sin and injuring one's supporter. That's monetary, but the point is he could go anywhere and be maintained. But the point is he's their supporter. He's the one giving the religious advice by which they can prosper. And that. And so, therefore, he's the greatest sinner. How do you not fear this sin, right? He doesn't fear any sin. You are shameless, ungrateful, and disobedient to your elders. Right? Who are the elders here? Who's Vidura's elder? Right? You know, they're taking the king as the elder. He is, but the point is his dharma and knowledge is above the king. That's why the king has to follow the Brahmins and the ministers. Yes, he makes the decision. He's the administrative head, but he's not the head of society. And the ultimate, especially and the ultimate goal, is becoming God conscious. So he's so out of whack in what he thinks is the proper thing. He's taking that my knowledge, the skill, my ability to manage, that's the topmost thing. He doesn't understand, no, this is not. Why do you accuse me, right, that I'm behaving badly? Where is my fault, right? It's very obvious. As water flows downwards, so I act how my nature dictates. I have received my nature from the Supreme. He controls all men's actions. You may go wherever you please. Right, so he's saying, I'm acting according by nature. Like that. And the Supreme has given me that nature and I'm acting. What's my fault? But the point is no, because of your bad action. Therefore, that's why you've taken birth in this way and you have this nature. The point is now you can continue using this nature in this way and just go farther and farther and farther down. Or, seeing the situation, you can take shelter of the superiors, take their guidance and all that, and improve the quality of your consciousness and move up. But, you know, he's just saying is that I'm acting according to my nature. But then by that, why isn't Vidura acting according to his? He knows religion. He's speaking it. Like that, Bhishma knows he's speaking it. Why not? No, only he's acting naturally. Everybody else is an enemy. Like that. We cannot shelter enemies or those who are envious of their own protectors, right? So he throws out this religious point supporting one's, injuring one's supporter. Yeah, it is a religious point, but he's not seeing it in the context of everything else. What he's doing is way greater. He's going to destroy the whole dynasty. And here, someone's pointing out how not to do that. He's saying, I'm supporting you. You got to agree with me. So he used, that's the whole point, is that those with this this mundane argumentative mentality, they'll quote Dharma simply as a point of argument to win their argument. They couldn't care less about Dharma. I mean, literally. It's not about Dharma. It's about getting what you want. Because otherwise, Dharma is be satisfied. You know, he does his duties, a kshatriya, what comes because of that, then he has, and which they have plenty. But he's not satisfied with that. He works on niti, I want this, I go like this mechanically, I get what I want. An unchaste wife, however well treated, always forsakes her husband. Vidura shook his head in despair. It's like, you know, talking to a wall. So you'd have more satisfaction talking to a wall than talking to Duryodhana. He again addressed Dhritarashtra. O king, tell me honestly, what do you think of those who reject the advice I have given? Surely a king's heart is unsteady. They grant protection one moment, then strike with weapons the next. So now he's pointed out the fault. He says, so you tell me honestly, what I'm saying is correct or not? He won't say anything, because he just wants it to go on and like that. He's just hoping that if he says nothing, then everyone will calm down and it'll go on. Vidura turned towards Duryodhana. You consider me foolish, Duryodhana, but consider instead him to be a fool who ignores a well-wisher's advice. That's also then a religious point. There are plenty of sinful men in this world who will speak agreeable words, but one who speaks what is disagreeable but beneficial is rare, right? People will speak what's agreeable because they want to get benefit, or they'll speak disagreeable but it's not a benefit, they're just trying to be nasty. But one who will speak what's disagreeable but beneficial, means it's for your benefit, that's rare. Such a man is a king's true friend who, without considering what is agreeable or not, speaks and acts only according to virtue. Then the king will be virtuous, then everything will prosper. Duryodhana laughed derisively. Fie on old Vidura, what good can he do for us? Right? Means, in other words, he's not a yes man, so then what can he do for us? Then, you know. Ignoring Duryodhana's rebuke, Vidura pointed to the Pandavas. Here are five enraged serpents with venom in their eyes. Do not arouse them further. O great king, drink that which is drunk by the honest and shunned by the dishonest. Humility, right? Duryodhana wouldn't even know what the word meant, right? Humility is a bitter, pungent, burning, and revolting medicine. But drink it deeply and regain your sobriety. I bow to you and wish you well. Act swiftly to avert the calamity that has arrived at your door. So he's saying, I've now spoken what I'm doing. Take it. Do with it to benefit yourself. And I pray that you ask swiftly. I'm just saying this as a well-wisher. And then he stops. You know, so, yeah. So Vidura took a seat near Dhritarashtra, but still the blind king remained silent. In other words, he just wants the match to go on. Not because... he wants to get the wealth and all that. He knows that because Duryodhana, it makes him happy. And that's all. Because he's already pointed out to Duryodhana before, is you have enough, don't just be satisfied with that. But Duryodhana is not, so he can't. So then we see Duryodhana laughed and turned back to the game. So now the game will just continue. Right? So Vidura stood up. He said something. But the point is it's still the king, it's his decision. And all that, and then he accepts, nice, he doesn't accept, then what can you do? That's the meaning of authority, like that. It's followed, you know, it has its things, but that's why authority is supposed to follow you know, the direction of Guru Sadhu and Shastra, then you know that what you're doing is in proper line. You know, this idea that, oh, I'm in charge, so whatever I do is proper, and people have to follow me, that's there, but also you have to follow the Shastra. So that's the point. Krishna's there, he follows the Shastra. Then the kings and that, they follow the Brahmins who are following the Shastra. And so everything's centered around the Shastra. And the whole point is that by that, then you'll get to Krishna. But if not, then you don't follow Shastra, you're not going up, you're not advancing. You follow Shastra, it's not in devotion. Yes, you'll have a better material position, but you won't go to the spiritual world. And you follow the Shastra with that understanding of devotion, then you'll advance and go back to Godhead. So Vidura's made his point. Now Dhritarashtra doesn't accept it. So now Duryodhana feels, you know, empowered. And so now he just says, okay, now we'll continue with the game. So I'll end here. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.